So, as usual, let's start with something that has got absolutely nothing to do with podcasting. Ethan, what do you call a moose that has no name? An anonymous. Ethan, before you start leveraging your podcast for your business's benefit, what are the two most important things that you need to consider?
So I've got the cheat sheet in front of me because we are a professional team that scripts and plans their podcast. But ultimately, you've got to understand the purpose and the audience of the podcast. So why are you doing this and who are these people before you can start getting business benefits out of it? And I think Walter has some incredible insights about how businesses can actually do this, how they can have marketing and sales goals and then place their podcast in such a way that the podcast can start achieving these goals or at least contribute to that success.
Hi, my name is Walter Kinder II. I'm a digital marketing podcaster. So it's important if you're into podcasts to know what your podcast is, why it exists, and who it's for. That's the same from entertainment, pop culture, niche shows about bird watching to B2B shows as well. I think businesses often forget that it's not just a marketing tool, but podcasts, they're kind of special because it's just something that someone could follow, subscribe to, and something they'll listen to provide value into their lives or, in B2B case, typically their businesses. So before you even think about how to leverage it, you really got to know what's the purpose, why does this podcast exist? And that's kind of aligning both with your business objectives, your marketing goals, and also the end goal for the user, the ideal prospect. Now, once you understand that, then it's like, okay, and now how do we leverage it? So there's a couple of different ways you could use podcasting. One is demand generation, building brand awareness as a sales tool, right, for reaching your ideal prospects. That gets into like the account-based marketing stuff. Well, you could also use it internally as well to kind of speak with all of your stakeholders, employees, and all that as well. But my favorite one to talk about is kind of that account-based marketing, and that's really using your podcast to reach your ideal prospects, having them on as a guest even, and then kind of using that tool, that podcast, to build a relationship with them. So whether both as a guest or as a listener, but the guest part is a part that people often kind of leave out. And I know people will build whole businesses around helping people to use podcasts to build relationships with their ideal prospects as guests. So basically, it's like if I have a show about marketing on LinkedIn, right? And my business is a digital marketing agency and we specialize in LinkedIn marketing. I can speak about LinkedIn marketing all the time, right? And I might end up finding a few clients. But with ABM, you could actually reach out to LinkedIn experts, people maybe who work in a company you want as a client, and having them to come on as a guest. And once you do that, you help them share their expertise. You create a great relationship between you two. And that kind of breaks down that kind of cold barrier if you were to just send out an email and try to reach them. So you have this relationship with the guest. And then from there, you could kind of discuss whether or not you want to, you know, continue that relationship in a business sense or as a colleague. They're a bit more likely to become a customer if you're providing something that they need. So for businesses using podcasts to reach their marketing or sales goals, there's so many different ways you could do it, but it's really kind of understanding who you want to listen, who you want to eventually, you know, sell to, and how you're using a podcast to kind of reach those customers.
The idea of aligning the purpose of the podcast with your business objectives and your audience needs is a very important one. You can't just go out and do anything. You've got to have a clear strategy if your podcast is meant to help your business or promote your business or generate business for you.
I love the concept of audience needs, putting the audience right in the front and making sure that you're actually giving them value so that it's not just one long ad, because nobody wants to sit through one long ad. Even if the goal of the podcast is to advertise something or to market something like this one is, we're hoping that all of these interviews that we're busy sharing with you are actively helping you so that even if you don't end up purchasing any of our products, you leave more informed and more confident after having listened to our content.
There are also very many ways that a business can leverage podcasts, including demand generation, brand awareness, sales, internal communications. I spoke to somebody the other day who said their podcast is purely for internal use, for their staff, to keep them up to date what's happening, to give them the latest news and news about all the products and stuff that are, you know, new or changed or something like that. So that's really important. So a podcast can be a very versatile tool for achieving a great many business objectives, whether it's in-house sales, promotions, or just, you know, building credibility.
Account-based marketing is a buzzword that we've heard quite a lot, especially when we speak to, you know, the marketing consultants of the world. And I love how Walter kind of explained putting potential clients as guests on your show. And this is not the first person we've spoken to who uses this as a strategy. I think there's so many ways to get value out of that, even if that person who is your interview guest is not necessarily going to purchase from you. I feel like if I have my ideal customer in front of me in an hour-long discussion for a podcast, I feel like there are so many useful questions and insights I could gain. And then potentially I could even convert this person into a prospect as well. So it's really interesting to be very strategic with who you actually get on your show with the goal of speaking to the kinds of people you want to be selling to.
Natalie has an interesting way. She doesn't directly aim to attract clients, but her podcast serves as a tool for humanizing her business and showcasing authenticity. So let's listen to how Natalie uses her podcast.
So my name is Natalie and I'm the introvert's coach. And the podcast is about a journey. And what Lenka and I want to share is our journey so that potential clients can see that we are on a journey ourselves. So we're both coaches. She works very much in marketing. I work with confidence. And it's about bringing the human into the business. It's a place where we are ourselves. We are vulnerable. We will share if we're having a struggling with something in our life and what we are doing in order to work through that or in order to find solutions. And that's how we want to bring clients in. But it hasn't been about bringing clients into our businesses. It's been more about helping other people realize it's okay to be on a journey. It's okay if you stumble and fall because we are doing it ourselves and we are very much stumbling sometimes and sometimes we're winning. And this is what it is about. It's bringing the human into our business. And it's a place where you can't always promote that you're struggling with something when you're networking or on your website or anything. But this is a place where I can say to clients, you know what, go listen to my podcast. This is where you will get my struggles or you will get why I'm doing something the way I am. So it does connect, but it wasn't aimed to connect, if that makes sense. It's very much because we both have different businesses and different audiences. We brought this podcast as just a place where I can be Natalie, she is Lenka, and we almost put the business persona aside. And it comes out a little bit, obviously, but it's not about business. It's about human connection and building relationships and experiencing life, really.
I love the concept of authenticity when it comes to podcasting, because it is a medium that by default is a bit less formal. It's a bit less structured, although asterisk, there's so many ways to do it. But even like what we're busy recording now, we have a structure, but we're still trying to be ourselves. We're still trying to convey our own personalities and our own thoughts and concepts and opinions. And I feel like having a podcast like Natalie does, where she's actively using it to have people learn more about her as a human being, be authentically herself in her podcast so that her audience can truly connect with her and has the side benefit of the people who aren't part of her audience will leave as well because they know, oh, this isn't the kind of person for me. You're filtering people in a way.
So what she's doing is she builds trust and credibility by sharing personal journeys and the challenges. It helps to get that real connection with the listener and with the potential client. because she's vulnerable, she's authentic, and she and her co-host then position themselves as relatable and trustworthy figures in their respective fields, which then ultimately can attract the clients who value authenticity and the human connection. That's really what we're after. Eh? If we want to do business with somebody, it's got to be with somebody I already know a little bit, I can trust, and that I feel is a human. It's not just an AI that I'm, you know, these automated things, you answer the phone and you've got 3 minutes of being put through the hoops. Can I please speak to a person? It's the same thing here. And I think that's a really good example of it. Next up is Lindsay. Lindsay highlighting the importance of integrating the podcast into the overall business strategy.
I always say your podcast is not like a silo. It has to be an integral part of your business and your marketing plan. I love podcasting because it gives you a long form piece of content that you can use the video, you can use the audio, you can repurpose it, you can create a blog, you know, a post on your website. So to me, I'm like, I'm all for doing something once and then getting many purposes out of it and really leverage it fully versus burning the candles at both ends and feeling like you have to do like all of these videos and go live and do a blog and do a podcast. Like, it's exhausting. There's a lot to do as it is. But again, you want to be strategic and especially have your podcast branded so that it's going with your business and your business brand. Because some people have a podcast and it looks completely different than what their business is. And so to me, I'm like, that's super confusing. And if you're going to confuse the audience, then they're not going to correlate your business with that. So you want it to be a part of your business plan for sure.
Having a podcast be central to your business strategy, in my mind, ties into the concept of having your marketing be central to your business strategy, which it has to be, right? There is no way you can run a business without some form of letting people know who you are, what your services are, what you do. And I feel like the way that Lindsay's explained this, you can truly make decisions about your business, about your messaging, about everything by having your podcast as like the fulcrum of your marketing strategy, right? We've spoken ad nauseum about repurposing, but I think this all ties into that, where you can have your authentic message in your podcast, you can repurpose it, and then you can have that message filter out into your website, into every aspect of your company.
Steve talks about networking, how his podcasts serve as networking hubs and building relationships, not just with the audience, but also with the guests.
My name is Steve Ramona. I'm in Northern California. My podcast is Doing Business with a Servant's Heart. And I realized after 3 or 4 months of doing it, is every guest is a hub for me. I give them referrals. You know, everyone I try to give a referral to, 1, 2, maybe 10. It just depends on the person. But I'm able to build a relationship through the podcast because I get to know them. They get to know me. And then what happens is, which is really powerful, as they start bringing me referrals, I start growing. I've added in the last 3 months to over 2,000 people to my network that I can call right now and refer people to them and help them grow their business and vice versa. So the massive numbers of networking and networking groups, I've been doing that for 5 years. That works. But this has an emotion, goodwill, a win-win aspect to it because I'm promoting my guest. I'm promoting my podcast. People are learning about me, learning about my guest. And it really strengthens the bond when I network. So these are really good networking. That's like, hey, I just met this person, this networking group. Maybe I see him another week. Passively, this is a very non-passive way of growing a network.
This format allows for a much deeper engagement. You can have a very meaningful interactions. You can create a friend, really, if you make the effort to do so. And this would result in long-term relationships, ultimately leading to sustainable growth for the network and for other business opportunities. So podcasting, a really useful tool for business. Podcasting is also very useful for a nonprofit. Let's find out from Sam what the link is between his podcast and a nonprofit organization.
My name is Sam Mitchell, and I run the podcast Autism Rocks and Rolls. The events in Indiana is where I'm from, and the speaking engagements is what keeps us going, and that's what the revenue is generating. We just recently got done with a AR Summerfest, where we have the All Access Band, a local band, Bloomington, Indiana, play for us. And Chicago's own Duke Tomato. He was an old timer, but he could still pretty much go. And we also had a lot of fun things. We had a prize wheel, an adult scavenger hunt, cornhole, Kona Ice came out. It was a blast. But we made some revenue off of that too. And it was at a pumpkin patch. So I have a section in the podcast called Pay for the Following. And Pay for the Following means that you have to pay to get an ad, which means it's a little longer than my thank yous. It's the thank yous are more like 5 or 10 seconds, whereas these Pay for the Followings is 15 seconds. And if you do sponsor, I advertise for you in the show, but then also I advertise for you during my radio appearances, during my podcast appearances, which I'll give us a shout out to some right now. Dependable Dave is a sponsor of ours. Creative Dynamics Virtual Service in Canada, Wellspring Pain Solutions, and the Fowler Pumpkin Patch. So those are some of my big ones. Stone Belt's another one, Unlocking the Spectrum. So we definitely have some tie-ins there. But the way we're making that money and making this podcast is the podcast is the base of the nonprofit. So we can have the ability to go out and do the other fun stuff that make the money. And I have a website too. I mean, autismrocksandrolls.com, you get ad there, and people definitely do check out the website, if not the podcast. So there's definitely somewhere where you're going to get recognition. I mean, the people in Canada right now, they're going to get recognition on my last episode. And people in Indiana and North United States heard about that company. They may not care about it, but they at least know it's there. And that's the part I care about.
So again, integrating your podcast with your business, whether it's for profit or not for profit, is a great way to leverage revenue through the podcast so that you can support your nonprofit or your business initiatives. And again, we've got to talk about aligning your business or your goals of your business, whether it's profit or nonprofit, with the mission. So it's again aligning the mission of your business, profit or nonprofit, with your podcast and creating a symbiotic relationship that drives mutual success. There is an episode coming up where we'll be talking much more in detail about monetization, but I think Sam's example here and his strategy of pay for the following advertising model, a really useful one.
Kenny uses the podcast as an extension of his coaching program and his coaching community. He then has a weekly discussion, which gets recorded as a podcast, but it's ultimately the whole goal in that recording is that people can have genuine connection, talk to each other, talk to him, ask questions, and ultimately improve themselves.
I'm Kenny Archon. We've got a podcast that we call Weekly Chat with Kenny. There are business owners that will never be able to afford coaching. We have to be honest with that because they're never in, especially startup business owners and people that just need something extra but don't have the finances to have one-to-one coaching, etc. And every week, the questions are questions that are going around in business owners' heads. And I often dig deep into my own experience and kind of go, okay, so let's say we're talking communication. Well, what are the challenges that I've as a business owner have faced in communication? And those have become the questions that I will put out in the weekly sessions. So, you know, what's one of the hardest things you've had to come across when communicating an uncomfortable situation? And so that becomes a whole conversation and everybody's input's valued. And it becomes a very safe area for people. And people have opened up about stuff. Sometimes I have to remind them, hey, you know what? This is going out into the world because they feel so safe in it. And I think that's probably what makes it different. It's not about me. It's not about my business. It's actually detached from my business, if that makes sense. I don't go, you know, it's Arch Inspirations weekly chat with Kenny. No, it's the weekly chat with Kenny.
I think what's interesting for me is, you know, I might not be able to afford a coach, but I can afford the time to listen to a coach and get some insights from them. How many times have we just had like virtual coffees with coaches and got like, wow, amazing moments, a great idea just from a casual conversation. Now, can you imagine how much benefit you could get from a podcast by a coach? And somebody like Kenny certainly provides that kind of valuable insights and support for a wider audience. So I think that's a really important point here.
Yeah, and I think for coaches specifically, it's a way for you to illustrate, show, not tell, the kind of coaching you do, the kind of insights that you have, the kind of value that you can add. So for coaches specifically, I think a podcast is an incredible way to have people really get a sample of what you do, because the coaching and the podcast will be honestly quite similar at the end of the day in terms of the content.
Interestingly, Kenny has a separate podcasting brand from his coaching company brand. Let's hear how he does that.
It stands on its own. It's its own brand. It's not part of the Arch Inspirations coaching company. And I've always said, I do it with no intention of picking up business from it. It's my way of giving back to those who can't have it. And the funny thing is, a lot of those people that are in the podcast, of course, they can afford coaching, have other coaches, you know, from complete different other coaching companies. And I'm okay with it. The one lady who's on there, she came on a couple of times. And the one day I phoned her, and she's the first thing she said, Kenny, I don't need a coach, I've got one. I said, no, that's not my reason for my call. And then there was silence. And it was just about having a conversation to understand her better. And she's actually done a special edition with me. And we often have conversations outside of the platform about other members and how we can help them in our own way. And we've seen people grow. I mean, you can watch some people, and it's so satisfying.
Do you think it's really important that you maintain a separate identity for the podcast, independent of your company?
I'd say, honestly, for most people, it's a bad idea. Kenny specifically doesn't want much from his podcast, except for the act of giving back. This is not a branding exercise. This is not a marketing exercise. This is a space that he's created for his community. So in that way, it makes sense for him. But I think for most business podcasters, you're kind of leaving money on the table or leaving marketing on the table by fully decoupling your podcast from your brand.
But I think what Kenny's doing is he's got really genuine intentions here, and that his focus is on supporting somebody's growth journey, and that he's creating broader network. So it again goes back to, what is the purpose of your podcast? You know, is it to sell your product, or is it to foster a community? Is it to really help, to have that sort of altruistic kind of, I want to help people and this is just a medium that I can do it through. But of course, there are many advantages for your business. Let's talk to Steve. He talks about the significant growth and networking opportunities that his business has experienced since launching his podcast.
I've made more money since I've launched my podcast than in 61 years of my life, first of all. Growing, and what's happening in my network, I'm getting high quality people, people that do $100 million a year in income, people that are way connected to people at maybe Shark Tank or top influencers. So I'm not only meeting people, but I'm meeting people that can bring me to large groups of people with high incomes that can buy into what I'm selling. We love working with, I love working with everybody, but when you get to that type of people, your business will grow fast and furious.
I will tell you that Steve is a massive fan of podcasting for business. It has become the center of his business. That is how he meets people. That is how he creates content. That is how he creates connections. And yeah, it definitely has paid off.
So the podcast for him is then a catalyst for his business's success, because he can attract high caliber individuals and foster those valuable connections within his industry, which of course all leads back to money in the bank.
Speaking of fostering connections, one thing that a lot of podcasters do in a business context is make sure that they are fostering that relationship after the actual recording. And I think Natalie has a great strategy for doing this.
So it very much depends on the connection that we have. I usually will connect with Lenka's guests through LinkedIn to see where they're going, or to stay in contact with them. If I feel that I want to get to know them more, I will then reach out and have a further one-to-one with them, more as a sort of a conversation. Lenka does the same with my guests. But because these are been people that we are fairly connected with, we haven't had to connect more with them, if that makes sense. Now that we're spreading out a little bit, we are now having to create relationships with people who we would like to be on our podcasts, and most probably then would have to sort of stay connected afterwards. But one thing that we do is when an episode is published, we will then, whether it's via WhatsApp, email, or, you know, DMs, however we've communicated, we will then give them their links to their episode for them to share around in any way. So we do let them know that their episode is published, give them the links for their episodes so that they can maybe just hit share on WhatsApp if they want to, or the DMs, so that they don't have to look for their episode. It's there. Yeah, and then some have, I think we've had one guest who actually made a link on her website using her episode to promote what she does. So when you've got the link, you can do more with it than having to hunt it down and find it. So that's what we do at the moment. And obviously, as we're getting guests who are not so much in our inner circle, there will be a bit more relationship building and maintaining afterwards.
To be honest, this is something that I would like to get better at, which is actively maintaining relationships in general as a human being, but also as a podcaster. And it doesn't even have to be that complicated. It's just touching in every now and again, keeping track of some people on a spreadsheet so you know who is in your network, and providing them value every now and again. Hey, I've repurposed the podcast since we've last spoken. Here's a clip if you want to publish it on your platform. I think there's just simple ways that you can just touch back in with the people you've interviewed.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how she uses LinkedIn, and a great way to keep contact with people through a LinkedIn message, and having those one-to-one conversations that will just deepen that connection with your guest.
It explains it pretty well.
Hi, my name is Diogen Tirandekura, and I am the podcast host of Consulting Lifestyle. Really insist on the fact that I see the podcast as a marketing arm of the company. In terms of concrete action, so as soon as an episode is published, I mention that on the, we make a post on the on social media, mostly LinkedIn. So we may have a post with the episode graphic and a summary of what is being talked about. We can have also some clips that appear later on that week, or even the week after. I send a mail also to the guest asking her or him to promote it on their network. I have it's a page as well on the on our website, so erphappy.com/episodes. You will find different podcast episode there. And on during the episode, the intro, outro, there are some call to actions. So asking if people would like to, as I said, like that ideal listener, that is that person that started as a consultant or hesitated to start, there is a call to action to get in touch with me if they want to explore that opportunity further. And by looking at that, they also see that they are in contact with ERP Happy, my company.
Yeah, we've spoken about this at length in another episode, where you use the podcast as part of an integrated marketing strategy for your company. Look at how Diogen leverages multiple channels, social media, email, the company website, so that he can get maximum exposure and engagement. And as we said before, engagement is really what it's all about. It's not just somebody listening to an episode. It's somebody listening to an episode and then taking the effort to communicate with you, and you making the effort to communicate back and starting that conversation. So I think that's really important. The other thing also that stood out for me here is that you have to have a clear call to action within each of your episodes. Our call to action is go to our website, go and buy the book, Become a Podmaster, Everything You Need to Know to Master the Art of Podcasting, available on our website, on Amalot, on takealot.com, on Amazon, everywhere online where you buy books, because that for us is really the lead magnet for our business, is read the book, see what podcasting is all about. If you like that, then, you know, you want to start one, then come and we'll physically help you do that. Taking you through all the steps. So that call to action, I think, is really important. And then also what Diogen said was prompt his listeners to engage further with a company and to find those potential leads and business opportunities and to pursue them.
A controversial question is, does your podcast have to have listeners for anybody to care about it? I think Carrie Green has some interesting insights on this.
You don't necessarily need to focus as much on the listenership and the number of downloads you're getting. I do think for the sake of legitimacy in pitching your guests to be on your show, you do need to have some kind of listenership that you can show to them as you're going to be exposed to this many people who are interested in the things you talk about, or else they're not going to be interested in being on your show in the first place. So it's a fine balance, and you have to go about it in a way that's not too salesy and not too pushy. That's not just a transparent ploy to get a conversation with them, because you generally do have an audience that you want to submit these ideal clients to as an asset for them to learn from.
And then the most important question is, at what point do you pitch to your potential clients? Let's check in again with Carrie.
The clients I've seen do this the best are the ones who flow out of the interview right into a very relaxed conversation between peers. And so they, first of all, will thank them for being on the interview, compliment them on some of their answers. And it's all very genuine. And then we'll say, well, tell me a little bit about your business. I'm very intrigued by what you said about XYZ. You know, tell me more about that. And the people by then are usually very happy to share more about what's going on in their business. And as you, being the one who wants to offer them a particular service, are listening, you're listening for those pain points and you're listening for those opportunities where you might be able to truly serve them and offer something of value to them. And you say, well, in that situation you just described, how are you handling this, which you know might be a trouble area for them? Or how are you dealing with this challenge? And you get them talking about that. And if something arises that your service can legitimately address, then that's where you say, well, we've got a number of clients that we help with that kind of thing. Here's how it looks. Here's how it works. Is that something you'd be interested in me sending you over some numbers on? You know, that kind of thing. And it's all just very low-key and very relaxed.
Right. So podcasting as a marketing arm of your business, I think it's really important that you use the podcast as a marketing tool for your business. Several people have mentioned this today. And you've also got to align your podcast with your business goals and to target the interests of your audience. You can't just speak in the wind. You've got to know what your audience wants and therefore target your content accordingly.
Building relationships and networks is an incredible use of a podcast. And one of the main reasons people do interview podcasts, in my opinion, especially in the business world.
But as we said, you need to follow up those guests. So you're just interviewing them and forgetting about them.
Ultimately, you end up sitting in an hour-long discussion with an incredible human being, which you can have relaxed, interesting, fun discussions and interactions with, which is something that people genuinely pay good money for. You'd pay good money for a good lead to sit with you for an hour and have a discussion. You can literally replicate that for free with your podcast.
And of course, you've got a ton of content that you can repurpose. You need a clear strategy for that, of course, and align your podcast content with the company's brand identity. And therefore, I encourage you to create engaging and informative content that will resonate with your target audience so that you can turn all of this into bucks, isn't it? We want some bang for our buck here.
Speaking of which, yeah, monetization is obviously a major reason why somebody would start a podcast for their business. We'll get into that into a future episode. But one little takeaway I'll give you is you don't want to be selling your audience and selling to your audience. You kind of have to pick one.
And what exactly that means, we'll get to. And it's also in season one when Gavin spoke about that, hey? Right, and just to end off, integrate your podcast into your overall business strategy. You know, it's part of your branding, it's part of your content strategy, it's part of who you are as a business, and really get the most use out of it. And if you want to start a podcast for your business, well, you are at the right place. Come to our website, bear.media, and join our Podmaster Startup Program. Ethan and I will take you through a 6-session startup series where we will not only help you to define your why and your how, but also your what and your where and your when and your ka-ching. So, it's on our website, bear.media.